this is my worst date podcast.
Wow.
an intro.
Nice.
Wow.
I didn't even know we were recording. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
Well, tattoos out of the way and talking about things that are happening this week. I think we're all pretty eyes on the news with what's happening with Gabby Petito. And hopefully there'll be some resolution or something by the time this episode comes out Wednesday. But I
got a million questions. A million questions, because there are legitimately zero answers right now.
Did this motherfucker think that he could just drive home and just like be all shoulders?
It's
thinking
bold.
That nobody would be like, where's Gabby?
It is so bold. Like, just to not even, no plan. Like, no plan. You don't, like, he's not talking to anybody right now, so we don't really know what he's going to end up saying. But just the idea, knowing my parents, the idea that you could come home without something to tell them, like anything.
No. Oh, yeah.
Anything. Like, oh, she stormed off. We had a fight and she stormed off, or I left her, or like anything.
She threw the keys at me.
Other than just like, I have a thousand. I decay and I just came back and didn't say anything. Like,
my parents would be like, you better tell us.
Fucking
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like, what's going on with it? Because she lived with the parents for a while.
I just cannot. Like, it is, I cannot imagine my son coming home, having had his girlfriend live with me, knowing they're going to get married.
Yeah.
Like, say what?
Yeah.
Say what? You have her van.
Yeah.
Here. But she is not here.
She is not here.
There is a missing piece to this puzzle.
He was like, maybe if I just don't say anything, no one will notice.
He's like,
it's like those little kids that play hide behind their hands.
Where'd they go?
Where'd they go? No. And I'm struggling to find an innocuous explanation for any of this. You know what I mean?
Because it's been too long. Because he hasn't said anything.
Because you would say something. I mean, that's the thing. Because, listen.
You'd at least be upset. Like,
you're traveling the country in a van. Yeah, things could happen.
Oh, sure.
Things could happen. But if you're traveling with somebody who presumably cares about you, they would report it. They would report it. Period.
Yeah.
Like they would report it probably not long after it happened in whatever state you were in when it happened.
Yeah.
They would certainly report it by the time they got back to Florida, like from Wyoming.
That is a big drive.
Yeah, it is.
It's, and I just can't imagine somebody just like making that drive without.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah. And the more that I look it up too, like, I guess there's a TikTok like user that talked to the FBI, like her and her boyfriend picked home dude up. Like in the middle of the Grand Teton, he like hitchhiked with them out of the park or
alone.
Whatever, alone. And he was like, oh, yeah. Like my fiance is like in the van posting on social media, you know, and I just wanted to go hiking and camping by myself for a few days. And they were like, he didn't have anything with him but a tarp.
Mm.
So they're like, how did you eat, sleep? Like, where's your water? Where's your food? Like, all this stuff. It's so shady.
Wow.
Isn't that's frightening to me. This is a future tainted love story.
100%.
I'm 100% sure that one of us will be covering this on our tainted love.
This story.
That doesn't look good, right?
No.
Hell no.
No.
None of this looks good. None of this. You drove across the country and you couldn't come up with a story even by that time? Like anything, his silence is
volumes. The most suspicious thing. It is the most suspicious thing. Yeah.
And it's just heartbreaking for those parents who are like pleading and being like, you're a parent. Like, we can't sleep. We can't eat. Like, can you tell us anything? You know what?
He's a parent?
No.
To his parents.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. It's Gabby's parents pleading with his parents. Like, please, just like anything that you know, like our daughter lived with you. Like,
yeah,
it's this story's so big just because of how strange it is. I mean,
well, I think it also combines a lot of things that are very, for lack of a better word, like sexy in the media. It's
right.
Like van life. It's like a complete mystery. It's a young, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like it combines a lot of aspects that are...
I think you missed one of the key features here.
White woman?
White.
Yes. You know, I wasn't going to say it, but
you should say it.
It was implied. I feel like white was implied.
By the camp. Well, I mean, just taking all of this into account, you know, and relating it back to our like dating show, I think I can confidently give advice and say, don't go camping.
You're listen, like, I love camping. And I also
with a large group.
Yes, exactly.
This is such a hard thing to talk about with somebody, like when you're talking about someone who's still missing, because it's easier. I know we talk about like true crime a lot on this show, and there's a lot of conversations around like the morality around like talking about true crime and things like that. But it's easier to distance yourself when it's a case that's has a resolution.
Right. Yeah.
In this situation, it's hard because
there is no resolution.
We don't know anything.
Yeah. Right.
We don't know anything. And it's very scary because I would have, you know, I know we just joked about like, oh, white was implied because she was in that van life. But like, I would have done that in my early 20s. For
same.
If it was like between that and being like stuck in my hometown during a pandemic living with my boyfriend's parents, I would have van lifed it out, you know, for sure. So
gotten to see the country and everything.
Blog. Hell yeah. Listen, nothing against that van life. Like, I'm like, good for you for getting out there trying to do something. And it's all very.
Well, it is scary because
scary.
I think that's the thing that makes our tainted love segment on this show so scary is just the idea that you might not know the person you're sleeping next to or dating because, you know, I love camping. I would love to van life. I like hiking, but there's a reason why I'm like, I'm not hiking with a stranger.
Hell no, right?
I'm not, you know, because there is a certain amount of trust involved in like going out into very remote places with one other person.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like you just said, you don't know who you're sleeping next to because this is her fucking fiance.
Right.
We're not talking about a fucking first date.
Right.
We're talking about somebody who just... Like, this is the person you're going
to
marry.
Well, and then I think to tie it back in, this is even scarier because I think a lot of people are dealing with something like this right now with how much life has changed during the quarantine. Like, people are different. They're getting to see their partners in such a different light because they're with them all the time, you know, having gone through quarantine. And I think people are still mostly hunkered down inside under high pressure, high stress. Like the divorce rate is through the roof
right now. Yeah. I mean, certainly I feel like you're Anthony and I both work from home still. Yeah. So it's like we are together all the time. And it didn't used to be like that. Like we used to be able to come home at the end of the day and talk about our work day.
Sure.
And like, that doesn't exist. I know what you did all day. Like, yes, I was here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I do think that kind of like intense cohabitation all the time, constant companionship can put a lot of strain on a relationship. And
you
certainly are seeing, you can be possibly seeing sides of your partner that you didn't see before.
Yeah.
I think who it's working for the most is the people who have gotten together during the pandemic because they're like going through the tough stuff when they're still in the honeymoon phase, right? Yeah. They can still like, they're at the place where they're like, forgivable. We can move past this. We can go here or there or whatever. You know, like I think when you're with somebody for like 15 years, you're like, God damn it. If that motherfucking, you know.
I feel like it's probably the people right in the middle who are struggling the most, like out of the honeymoon phase, but haven't been with the person long enough that you know a lot of those, like, we've been together for a decade quirks.
Yeah.
You know, like you're in that like 2-3 year range.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
it's heavy. Cause I mean, I know myself. I like, my breakdowns are not just limited to period week anymore. It can be triggered by anything these days.
I hear
you. Yeah.
Oh my God. I saw a TikTok earlier that was a woman saying like, how did you know that your period was coming up? And she told this story and she was crying. She was like crying and she was telling this story about like bottlenose dolphins who were like bringing things to shore.
Yes, the Australia, because they miss their humans.
Because they miss their humans. she's just like sobbing. Rivers, river.
You're like, that's how.
And I'm like, yeah, that track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. That's how.
Yeah. But
you start crying watching commercials and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
But here's the thing with the whole like Gabby case and everything like that. Of course it's still going on. Of course we don't know anything.
Sure.
So, you know, this is all just
we're not even suggesting that we do at all. I don't think like that's we're not this is just a, you know, it's a wild case.
We hope it's just all a huge misunderstanding and that she's fine.
It just takes me back to that Kylie and JC or
I was just thinking that as well,
that whole JC and what was it,
I don't, the woman from Hawaii, right?
But were they from Jesus, I did the story, Rexburg, Idaho,
but they moved to Hawaii, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was a little back and forth, there's a big story anyway, but like them missing. And they're like, again, all shoulders, like,
yeah. But you know what? Even if it was, yes, of course, that would be best case scenario, that it's all just one big misunderstanding. I mean, I think that we need to tattoo a red flag on that guy's forehead, regardless of what happens after this. Because I'm like, even if it is as simple as like, she was like, you know what? I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Fuck you.
Fucking deuces. I need some time to myself. And she resurges and it's fine. Or resurfaces and it's fine. There's still something so sinister and strange about like his behavior.
Yeah.
That I'm like, there needs to be a warning label. Yeah. On this man.
Yeah.
Let's put a tag on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless of how it turns out.
Yeah. Oh, well, on lighter news, we also had the Met Gala this week, which we talked about.
Oh, man.
I think actually I might just wear Kim Kardashian's look like all the time now.
Yeah.
I find it extremely helpful. I would never have to do my makeup, which is great.
Someone did the her best. Prep. Like, and that's what they were like, did you ever feel have you ever felt useless? Someone did Kim Kardashian's face for the Met Gala.
No.
I don't know if it's because maybe she took that off later at like an after party or something, but yeah, someone did her like face.
Wouldn't it get all smeared up?
Yeah.
On the inside of that.
What?
Or maybe it was just skincare, but I don't know. There was
as a hairstylist, I take this very personally. I am very upset right now.
Oh my God. I am,
but she did have a ponytail out the back, like she had like a ponytail hole.
Yeah, and it was a long ass ponytail too. Yeah. That thing was expensive.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I mean, and then I think to the VMAs or to another event earlier in the week, she was wearing like a BDSM outfit. It was like the same thing, but it was like a pleather mask.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, I don't know. Yes. I don't know what her deal is.
What if she like hurt herself? She got like a big zit. something happening.
That's
she's
what
like,
it is. Just a big zit.
You know, just cover it
you
up.
You know, it feels very Kanye to me. That whole very like kind of
weird. Are
they
back together?
I hope not. Kim.
I know. There's a lot of rumors because of the Donda listening party.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Oof. Kim.
Hey, you know, I can't say anything. I've walked back before when I should have kept on running away. But
hey, it happens.
It happens.
Sometimes you're just kind of like, devil, you know, right? You're like,
and she's got kids.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, that's much harder too. Yeah.
You got
kids to think about.
Dude, we're all about the touchy subjects. Ooh. This go around. We're touching all kinds of things.
Yes. Well, you know what? I feel like we should fuck, marry, kill like worse dressed.
Oh. Worse dressed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we should fuck, marry, kill like worse dressed at the Met Gala.
Okay.
Okay, I gotta look it up, I think.
All right,
I
can't remember. Let's look up the worst looks.
I've got to say, I was not a fan of the theme.
No, and it was very vague.
So awful. Like,
and I really did not like Debbie Harry's
awful
look.
Awful.
It really was.
I hate it.
It looked.
She looked like a fucking ripped flag.
It looks like a Bud Light commercial.
It was like a
to me.
No.
It was a crime against America.
And listen, I'm not right now. I'm wearing like ripped jeans, a ball cap. Like
I'm wearing sweatpants, so I am in no
position.
Listen,
we get to judge them. We get to judge them. Okay, there's very little right now that we can take joy in. Let us have this.
I'll tell you who fucking looked great though is Zoe Kravitz.
Of course,
oh
she did.
Oh my god,
of
dude, course. That naked dress that she had on, I was thirsty.
I feel like she wore exactly what we
needed her to.
And what I feel like she should wear. Like, that's her vibe.
I'm somebody put Pete Davidson and Tom Brown as one of the worst. And I'm like, I didn't hate it as much because it is the Met Gala.
It felt a little Sierra, David though, Rose to me.
Looks like she's straight up wearing a... What in the fuck? She looks like she's wearing turf.
You know who
it's awful.
Who failed the assignment is Channing Tatum, who just came in a basic ass tux.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
And then also, and I love him so much that it like breaks my heart, but Frank Ocean and that little Shrek baby.
Yes.
What that was that?
I didn't see it.
I didn't understand. How did that relate to the theme?
I don't know. And like, I love Frank
what was
Ocean
the Shrek
with
baby?
My whole heart. My whole heart.
Yeah. There were some real interesting looks. Listen, it's the Met Gala, so it's over the top and everything. Yeah. Listen,
A$AP Rocky just wore mom's quilt. Like... Oh, so good.
There was the girl in the like horse thing.
Kim Petras.
Yeah. Listen, I didn't hate it as much as I should have. I really should hate it more. But I'm like, it is the Met Gala. And there's part of me that's like,
you know, I actually feel like more on theme than other people.
I know.
I'm like, a horse girl? That's pretty
American.
That's
very... Very.
You're right, though. That is like straight up an Afghan, mm-hmm. your grandma.
Yeah, my grandma definitely made that Captain Crunch quilt Captain at one time.
No, this is a very unflattering photo of Channing Tatum,
it
too.
It is. He doesn't look hot there.
Not
at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So many to choose from.
Well, I'm going to go with Frank Ocean just because.
Yeah, the Shrek baby.
I haven't seen it.
Do you have a picture?
Yeah, here.
I think I'm going to have to go with Sierra. I fucking hate that so much. And I love football, but she looks
Oh, the football
absurd.
Dress.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's not.
So keep in mind that it also moves. It's like a mechanical baby.
Yes. Why?
I don't know.
Exactly. What is the message?
I don't. What? Yeah. Did he?
I don't know. We don't know. We don't know.
Why?
So many questions.
Why? And his hair looks like a tennis ball.
Oh, and he's such a sweet baby angel.
Oh, I just found it. Oh, no. Best accessory. Woof.
Best accessory. Woof. Woof. Listen, there were some awful. Good looks, too. That's what
there were.
That's
Billie Eilish looked amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She looked beautiful.
I did not love her hair.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to. I was so close, but I don't hate Kristen Stewart's rockabilly look.
No. No, it's definitely not the worst of the night.
And no.
It's kind of fun, and it's a different look for her, so I had to be like, oh, wow. Dude, I'm so excited to see Spencer. It looks so good.
It really does, and I was skeptical. I was skeptical.
That poster. I literally don't know what you're talking about. Kristen Stewart is playing Princess Di in a new movie coming out called Spencer.
Right.
And the poster for it is like
Did you
art.
Watch the trailer?
Yes.
Oh.
I forgot it was her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty impressed,
I'm
actually.
Sold,
I'm
actually.
In.
Yeah.
I'm definitely very interested in watching that. So, okay. So we're going Deborah Harry, Frank Ocean, and... Sierra.
Yeah.
Fuck, marry,
kill. Sierra, who also is wearing her husband's football jersey number.
Oh,
so, gag. I mean, like, I appreciate. And is there anything more American than football?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're on there, she definitely fits the theme. And so does Deborah. Harry's got a jean jacket.
I love that you call her Deborah.
I know.
Deborah.
Like formal.
You're like, we're Deborah.
Very formal.
Very formal relationship with her.
Exactly. I don't feel confident, you know, with her nickname. Dude,
Debbie can't.
Kendall her Jenner's nickname. Dress.
I thought she looked fucking stunning.
She does,
I know.
She does
I thought
look
she
stunning,
was
but what,
solidly
what,
the just, best dress.
I think she looks beautiful. And I think I like Billie Eilish's dress. But what does it have to do with the theme?
Nothing.
I'm just like, what's happened? Why?
Glamour. Hollywood glamour.
Nudity?
Was obviously. Marilyn Manson. Jesus. The Marilyn Monroe thing was obviously what she was going for Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was clearly like American icon.
Yeah, I guess.
That makes sense.
I just feel like there are just so many better ways.
Sure.
I just,
I can't. Yeah. What is happening? I have questions. Does the Shrek baby have to be there while we're doing it? If I
No. Well, that changes my answer.
No.
So I was going to be at least like one night stand so I can be like, explain to me, please. Because you know me, I don't like a mystery. And I kind of want to unlock this.
I need to know.
I need.
Inquiring minds need to know.
Okay, I guess here's the question. This in this fuck, marry, kill scenario, mm-hmm. are they wearing the outfits?
Oh, yeah.
And they're keeping them on.
Forever.
So no, yeah, whoever we marry, that's their thing because that will change what I do.
Yeah,
for sure.
I actually also know myself, and I know that I have a problem with anthropomorphizing things, and so I can see myself really getting attached to the Shrek baby.
Oh no!
I definitely, like, if it hangs around long enough, if we were to get married, I would become very attached.
And he did talk to it, and he like talked to it with the reporters.
No.
What is going on with this?
I don't know.
Please, if anyone has the dirt on this, please reach out.
What does it have to do with the theme?
What does it mean?
What does it have to do?
I mean, I guess I Shrek's America.
What does it represent?
Or is it like, this is America, we can build you a baby?
I don't know.
Technology. And the green hair.
His hair looks like a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Okay. That color is spot on tennis ball.
Did we establish rules? Or is it just Debbie, Harry, Sierra, and Frank Ocean?
That's it.
Because if that's what it is, well, and it's not necessarily tied to their looks.
You have to have met them in that look and chose them at that look.
Fair. Okay. Fine. Okay. That's fine. Okay. I'm going to marry Frank Ocean. Okay. I just think he's cool as hell. I like everything I've ever heard from
his
him.
Music is
his music
great.
Slaps. He also seems very sweet
in
every interview I've ever seen with him, even with the weird baby.
Yeah.
He seems very like,
I'm
just
actually
kind.
Same.
Maybe I'm not in on the joke. And that's, yeah.
Yeah. And I just like, want to know. Now I want to be in on the joke.
That's okay. He'll explain it to me over breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
And I also think he's hot. Like,
yeah,
I think he's hot. So yeah, I'm going to marry him. I'm going to fuck Debbie Harry just because I want to know what it feels like to fuck an icon.
Yeah.
Because she is Blondie. She that is a rock and roll icon.
She is going to be straight up.
That's okay.
Pillow princess.
That's all right. I just want to be able to say I did it. Got it's okay. It. Like, I just want to fuck a rock and roll icon. So I'm going to fuck Debbie Harry. And you know what? Sierra just doesn't do it for me. She's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Insanely beautiful. Legs up to here. Absolutely stunning. But there's something about her that I'm like, this is gonna be boring. You're not gonna, and I'm so sorry. I don't know her personally, but it's the vibes. The vibes say like, I don't feel like I'm gonna be stimulated intellectually. Mm-hmm. She had that whole like second virginity thing before she married Russell Wilson. You didn't know that?
Yeah. No.
They didn't fuck like the entire time they were together before they got married, and they were together for a while because of his spirituality, and she had already had a child, but like, she did like the born again virginity situation before she married him. I've worked very hard to be an ex-evangelical. I don't need to get sucked back into that. Like,
see, that changes my answer.
That does
me too. I was going to go after. Yep. I was actually thinking about marrying her just because I was like, she seems supportive.
Yeah, she is supportive. Her man. And I actually think that she would. I think she's probably a great wife.
Yeah.
Like, no shade. You know, like just for me. Just
you got the red flags up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's giving me vibes.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me. I think I'm also going to marry Frank Ocean. I really love his music
Me
so
too.
Much. I find him very intellectual. I think I can be stimulated by that. I'm going to have to fuck Sierra.
Yeah.
I just think she's got a banging bod.
Yeah,
and
we don't have to marry that.
Yeah. Hopefully I can entice her for a night.
The end.
Yeah. And maybe we can just watch a football game and eat some wings.
And listen.
Too. That would be fine as well.
I'm totally fine with that.
I love
wings.
We know
how much I love football. Yeah.
So
I feel like she plays board games, which would actually be fun.
Yeah. So I gotta kill Deborah, Harry,
Deborah.
Just because, well, for one, I mean, I love Blondie. I really, really do. But I just feel no connection with her whatsoever. Sure. And that outfit, just like I said,
that outfit is heinous. It's truly very, very bad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not hitting it for me.
It might be the worst of the three that we've named because Frank Ocean's is weird, but the baby is almost like separate from his outfit.
And it's very intriguing.
Right.
Now making us ask questions,
right?
I have no questions about we saw Blondie outfit.
Yeah, we got it.
What you were going for. Yeah. We just don't like what
you're going for.
Yeah. It just feels like a Budweiser commercial to me.
It does. It's a tattered flag. I mean, I appreciate that she went there with it, mm-hmm. but it really is my least favorite.
I do appreciate
outfit.
That she stayed on theme, but it's almost too on theme.
That's
you know
the
what
thing.
I mean?
It's hard. It is. It's like, is it too on the nose?
Correct.
And if we're thinking,
the person I think that got it the most right is Lupita.
Yeah.
Who
is it? The
denim.
Denim.
Yeah.
Dress.
Yeah. Yes. Where I'm like, that feels very on theme, but not too on the nose.
Right.
Where
you're
it's
not
like,
beating me over the head.
Right.
J-Lo, too, who kind of did that little bit of
like
a cowboy kind of thing. And I was like,
yes,
very leather.
Hat. Yes. Yeah.
Bitch can wear
can
a hat.
Can we also
okay?
say,
bitch can wear a hat.
I didn't think mm-hmm. about this when we were thinking about worst dress, but what the fuck was Benedict Cumberbatch wearing?
I didn't see. Oh, no.
He looks like Colonel Sanders.
What?
Like, he wore like a straight up like plantation
suit. He's like, and what is more American than that?
It is like a cream. Like, I'm like, sir, you.
He's
you
like,
are too white to wear that.
He's all, this is America.
Oh, no. Let me show you.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Well, while you look it up, I'm going to do mine. I am going to, gosh. Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. I think I'm going to definitely, I'm marrying Frank Ocean just because I have to let the mm-hmm. outfit go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The weird.
He's a nice man.
It does make me concerned that Robot Baby does end up living with us.
I'm actually not mad at Robot
I'm
Baby.
I'm really scared.
You've come around on Robot Baby. I feel like that was a journey.
It's very, very strange.
Can't have Robot Baby cannot live with us.
It can live with us. It just cannot be in the room.
It
like
what if it's an Alexa?
It can't.
It was listening to all of their conversations all night. He managed to sneak in a device.
No. I hate it.
That's awesome. Hilarious.
Oh no.
Okay, let me show this to you.
Ooh.
Benedict. Honey. No.
My good sir. That is plantation.
And that almost even looks like a riding crop. Like what?
Yeah.
Why? That's
what are you
real
doing?
Plantation vibes right there.
No.
He's like, this is America, right? That's the theme. He's like British. He's like, I don't know. Like this is all I know about you guys.
I looked up Reconstruction and this is what came up. So
perfect.
Gone with
I
that.
Got, nailed it, right? Gone with the wind?
Nailed it.
I think that I am going to fuck Sierra. I have to. And like you said, even if we don't actually fuck, because, you know, I don't want her to feel bad about it. Like, I don't want her to feel away, like going against her. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like maybe there's mm-hmm. vibes. And I'm cool with, legit cool with watching football.
Mm-hmm.
With, I'm in. I'm in. Sign me up. Yeah, as much as it breaks my heart, I don't, like you said, I don't feel a connection with that. Blondie, to me, Debbie Harry has too much going on.
Right.
I need to feel special. I feel like I can't feel special in that relationship.
Agreed. Oh, I would never be in a relationship. I wouldn't be in a relationship with any rock star.
No.
Like, especially any rock star from that period. Like, 70s, 80s rock stars. I'm not being in a relationship with any of you because you're all fucked up. And probably very self-centered.
Yeah.
You know? But, and for a night. I would do it for one night to say I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
Well. Yeah. Well, we have a new patron.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So I want to give a big shout out to Jessica Bain. Welcome to our Patreon family.
Bienvenue.
If you have any suggestions on anything that you would like to see on Patreon or anything that you would like us to talk about on the show, if there are any topics or FMKs that you would like us to do, please reach out to us.
Yeah,
we would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Cool.
And we're back. All right. I think it's Cass's
turn.
It is me.
Yeah. It's me. Excuse me. So I got my story from Reddit. I was crushed by the girl of my dreams. I just stood on the tracks while all my friends were screaming at the warning signs, but nope. Blind me got train wrecked.
Yeah.
At any rate, another girl who was part of our social group was always fun and sweet to me. started checking up on me. We will call her Rebound.
Oh.
Turns out she knew the deviant things my ex was doing and was trying like heck to get my friends to open my eyes. I wasn't ready to date anyone, but one night Rebound and I decided to head out together, grab dinner, and hit downtown to blow off steam. She was living with her parents, early 20s, finishing school, not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And there were no weird vibes. I only knew her a little bit, so it was casual getting to know each other. We unexpectedly met up with another group who were partying hard. I was partying hard. I was driving, so I was just socializing. Rebound got pressured into doing a round of shots. I didn't realize she was a lightweight. Got way too drunk too fast. Mm. I got her out of there and she started panicking that she couldn't walk into her house that hammered. I said, no big deal. The night is pretty early. We'll chill at my place, sober you up, and get you home. No, I wasn't trying to be that guy. Pull into to park the car. She suddenly says, I don't feel good. Whips open the door and starts puking.
At least she got the door open.
Exactly. Yeah. We've all been there. So I unbuckle and lean over to rub her back. Aww. And she rips the most unholy of rancid heat wave farts directly in my face.
Oh, it's so embarrassing for her and terrible for you.
I mean, singed my eyebrows and burned the roof of my mouth like I had just now eaten.
You got it in your mouth.
Eaten a Totino's pizza roll right out of the oven.
No.
She is mortified and tries to crawl out of my car, presumably to die in shame. I sigh, blink the tears out of my eyes, and help her up. She had crawled through her own puke.
Oh, no. Big girl.
While walking her to the door, she is continuing to puke and fart and cry and apologize. And at this point, I actually find it hilarious. She is a stinky, pukey, farty mess. Oh, no. And there is no way, and in no way is happy with herself. Married. I got her inside. She goes to the bathroom, empties her bowels some more into my toilet while puking into a garbage can.
What was in those
door
shots?
Door wide open. I get
Oh, honey.
You're so drunk you can't close the door. Honey.
I got her a change of clothes and suggest she showers. She can't stop apologizing. She can't stop apologizing and crying. I take her dirty clothes and throw them in a sink and do my gagging best to clean the puke out. She comes out of the shower looking like the saddest, most embarrassed hot mess I had ever seen, wearing a sweatshirt and gym shorts of mine, lies down on the couch and falls asleep. I clean her clothes. Next morning, I do the drive of shame to her home while she just stares at her feet and apologizes. At any rate, we've been married 21 years.
I was going to say, nice. Yeah, of course they did. Of course. Yes. As soon as he started being like, oh, it was actually kind of funny. I was like, yeah, okay. Because otherwise you'd be like, nah, never again. You know?
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
The way it was written though.
Like a Totino's pizza roll.
Oh my God.
Just stings.
We've talked about that on this podcast before. That like that's part of it too. It's just like you gotta just seal that mouth shut when it's something like that. The same way like you don't breathe at all when you're in a Venice Beach bathroom because it's like it's poop particles.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
We've talked about that. Like if you can taste it, those poop particles are in your mouth. It's science.
Yep. Yep.
Science.
No. She crawled in her pew. Oh, God.
No.
Baby.
Pickles is a very silent but deadly bed farter.
Oh, no.
And his puppy farts are like, I mean, I'm like, I know what I feed you. Yep. Where is this coming from?
Sir.
Like, did you eat shit and now you're farting?
Have you checked the litter box lately?
Right? Oh, I know. I know. I have to keep it clean because he is a pokey little puppy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
He's like, yeah, mom, I did eat shit. Mom, let me lick your face.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Well, on that note, I will dive into my date. It's a woman here. I'm pretty sure I was someone's worst date in 2008.
Oh, is this the other side of Cassie's story? Shame receipt.
Right before I met my husband, I had been dating a bit here and there. There was this guy who worked in the same corporate park as me, but for a different company. He used to smile at me a lot and always wave and chat me up. He wasn't really my type, and it was clear he had confidence issues. One day when I was sitting outside eating lunch, he asked if he could take me to dinner sometime. I figured, why not? Maybe he'll turn out to be Mr. Right. I said yes, and we exchanged numbers and made plans for Saturday night. That Friday, my grandma passed away, so as you can imagine, I had to cancel. I had to fly to Bulgaria, where my family is from, for the funeral, so I was going to be gone for a week or more, so I told him we'd reschedule. He asked if he could call me out there. I told him I didn't think my cell would work, but I had Yahoo Messenger and gave him my email. We traded a few emails and chatted a bit on Yahoo, and he asked more than once if I was just flaking on him.
Oh.
Remember the whole like self-confidence thing that I mentioned before. He was like, I know it's a long shot to get a girl like you to go out with me, blah, blah, blah.
At this just point, so that's unattractive. It's a hard pass from me when people start doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad vibe.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. You would tell me if you're not interested, right? I swore to him and sent him some pics from my digital camera of me in Bulgaria with my family. Fast forward a few weeks and I'm back in the States and reach out to him and let him know I'm back and ask if he wants to reschedule our date. We reschedule for the following Saturday night. Around lunchtime on that Saturday, I started to feel a bit sick.
Oh no.
By 5 p.m., I still wasn't feeling great, and I was supposed to meet up with him at 7. I gave him a call, told him I wasn't feeling too great. He starts saying things like, oh, you're just canceling on me because I'm not good enough. Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly right. He made me feel really bad, so I agreed to go out with him, but told him I wanted to go to a diner instead of Italian like we had planned because I felt like I could probably only keep soup down.
Mm. These consequences, whatever they are on him.
Yep.
Yeah. You tried to stay home, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we met up at the diner and I was feeling sort of better, but not great. I had some soup and bread and was feeling a bit better. We were talking and getting along pretty well. Then all of a sudden I felt it and couldn't stop it.
Oh, no.
I vomited all over the table.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry. Dude, I warned you. Warned you.
I have no sympathy at all.
Some even got on him. It was so gross. The waiter and a few other staff came over to help me.
I have sympathy for the servers.
Yes. A waitress took me to the restroom so I could clean up. I was really feeling sick at that point and definitely felt like I had a fever. I had driven there and there was no way in hell I was well enough to drive home.
No.
I figured this guy would have ran like hell, but he was waiting for me outside the restroom to see if I was okay. He offered to give me a ride home. I ended up shitting my pants in his car.
Oh my God. Is this the same?
I hope that he felt bad, and I hope that he never again tried to guilt a woman into going out when she wasn't feeling well.
He dropped me off. I never heard from him again, and also never saw him around the corporate park either.
Yeah, he's like steering clear.
The plague. He's like, I'm avoiding.
That's your turf you, now. Like, the plague.
I've changed jobs, actually.
Oh my God.
Okay. I had a crush on this girl in high school, but didn't have the courage to ask her out formally, so I kept dropping hints. At one point, she asked me if I want to eat dinner at her house, so I jump at the opportunity. When it gets close to the day of, she calls me and asks if it's okay that the dinner is...
Oh, no.
Sorry. The dinner is freegan. If you don't know what that is, it's okay. I didn't either. But I said, that's fine, whatever. And just thought it was some sort of foreign cuisine. Oh, no.
What's freegan?
I can't stop. No.
Okay,
no,
I won't stop.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I just thought it was some sort of foreign cuisine I'd never heard of. I get to her house, and after a couple of minutes of my very bad flirting, a bunch of people show up, all bringing their freegan foods, and they want me to help them prepare it. At this point, I was starving, so I just want the food to be ready faster, so anything to move it along. I get to the kitchen where people hand me food and asked if I've ever eaten freegan food before. And when I said no, they explained that it is vegan food that they'd gotten from the dumpster.
Oh, no.
So I proceeded to slice off warts from cucumbers and put interesting looking fruit into the blender until we sat down to eat. Now, if you recall, I was very hungry at this point. Seeing the food before didn't help, but I wasn't going to run out now after all of this. I had felt like I had gotten closer to her because she had shared that part of herself with me.
Oh, no.
I ate more than I cared to admit, and once we were done, I was ready to talk to her about us. The doorbell rings, and her boyfriend shows up.
Oh, no.
He's eating this trash food.
Literally.
Literally garbage food. Yes.
Right. She's like, you're such a good friend. Oh.
You're going to love my boyfriend.
Oh, God. I look.
Freaking. Yeah.
Look, I'm all about like sustainability.
Listen.
And like, I don't want food to go to waste.
I don't.
Okay. I don't like throwing food away.
Yeah.
You know, my cat just ate a piece of my pizza and I'm probably still going to eat it later.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you can't be pulling out like heads of like wilted cilantro from a Ralph's dumpster.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It is shameful how much we waste food though.
It's
like
true.
There's like such a, I see it, but I'm like,
but also
practicality,
no.
I cannot. However, our friend Chris from Faces and Aces.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
He goes to this place in Koreatown in Los Angeles that does like, basically, for $40, they fill up your fucking car. And it's all food that would have been thrown away. It's, like, from airlines. It's from, like, different, like places that are, like, it's past its, like, date for us to be able to use it and feed it to,
you gave
like,
me
people.
Some bomb-ass tomatoes from there.
Dude.
Yeah.
They're super good.
Yeah. That kind of program and stuff like that, I'm down for.
In.
100%.
Yeah.
Because I do think that needs to happen. And I know there are a lot of programs like that work with like shelters and stuff. Totally in support of that. But yeah, I cringe at the thought of
just the fact of getting into a dumpster to search out. Like it just
I
guess it also depends on what it is. It's like you can wash off a tomato, but it's like what else was in that trash? And like what trash? Because like I know what goes into my trash. I'm not taking anything out of my trash because I'm like, look, there's like kitty litter in there. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Like I'm not, there's no amount of cleaning a piece of romaine
like
lettuce
hairballs.
Well enough that's going possible. To like, that's going to make it edible.
Yeah. Sorry. No, this stuff is all still packaged. So that makes me feel better. And again, it has not been in a actual dumpster or trash can.
No.
Yeah.
Speaking of trash cans, can't wait to tell you my tainted love story.
Yeah.
Well,
here we are.
Yes. So I found this story on a new show that I found on Oxygen. And, you know.
Is that the sound?
Yeah.
On Oxygen?
When you open the Oxygen app on your thing, it's like breathing. It's weird.
I don't have the Oxygen app. It doesn't come with my Spectrum package.
What? You don't have Oxygen?
I don't know. It's a problem for another time.
Okay. I was like, well, if you get Oxygen, the channel on your thing, you can get the app. It's easy peasy. Hmm. Anyway, lemon squeezy. So this story also, I got information from Murderpedia and another article that I forgot to write down. Anywho, I'm going to tell you the story of Scott Dell. Well, I'm going to tell you the story about Cheryl. Can't tell you for sure how to say her name because I've heard all three said.
Wow.
Okay. So it's spelled S or C H E R Y L L E. So
I would think it would be Cheryl.
I heard Cheryl. I'm going to say Cheryl because it's going to be the easiest way to get through this thing.
Great.
Cool. So Cheryl Dell lives in Ontario, Canada, and she meets Scott Dell. Scott Dell has moved to, well, she wasn't Cheryl Dell at the time.
Yeah,
okay, I was going to ask. Sorry. That was a question.
I was like, did they have the
spoiler
same
alert.
Name? Just skip that step.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Scott Dell moves to Canada in like the 60s because he had just turned 18, so he's trying to dodge the draft.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Right. So he is 18 at the time. He meets Cheryl, who is 17 at the time, and they fall. He is smitten kitten. She is just gregarious and like beautiful and just porcelain skin beauty. And anyone who has ever known her just speaks about how like she just puts a spell on people. Like she's just one of those people who is just, she's dynamic. She's got this personality that is just, you know, you just attract.
That
she's
a max.
She's got that it factor for sure, for sure. So they end up moving to this cute little town, and it's like a small town in Ontario. That apparently I've forgotten to write down because I am wrote down every other thing in the world in here, but I did not write down the name of this town because that's how good I'm doing today.
We can all picture it though, like a cute little quaint Canadian town.
Cute, quaint Canadian town, small town, farming-ish community, but a very like hippie vibe. So like everybody describes it as kind of like, it kind of reminds me of Springfield or like outside of Springfield, like where Dave Chappelle lives.
Oh, Yellow Springs?
Yellow Springs, right? Okay. That kind of like Yellow Springs vibe where it's like country, but there's like just it's a bunch of hippies, right?
Right.
Yeah. Who are like, we're going to live off the land and have this small community. And Scott fits in immediately. People are like in love with Scott. He is just salt of the earth guy, just this really sweet, gets along with everyone guy. And Cheryl is, Cheryl's Cheryl. Like she's this, she's got this like kind of wildish kind of thing. She dresses up in a fur coat to walk downtown. Like she's just, she's a little extra. Vibes. She's got vibes.
I like it.
For sure.
I mean, maybe not like faux fur, like faux fur, but like I dig the vibes.
She's just like, and she will talk to anybody, but people are also a little kind of like suspect of somebody who's that like
extra.
Yes. Especially in a town like this where people aren't extra.
Live your truth, Cheryl. All. You live right. your truth. I'm in support.
Right.
Like city dreams in a small town.
That is, it's so Cheryl is city dreams in a small town. She is champagne and beer budget for sure. So they end up having three kids of their own, and they have this beautiful piece of land and a farm. And Scott is a real like dad. Like he loves being with the kids. He loves being a parent so much. And I don't love the way that Charmed to Death describes that they took in two foster kids to, quote, supplement their income.
Ooh.
Don't fucking love that.
That doesn't paint a good picture of them.
I hate that. That makes me disgusted. Like, to supplement their income, they took in foster kids.
But was that speculation or was it like, that's like fact?
I don't know.
Do we know that they were doing that for that reason?
I don't know for sure, but it is definitely what Charmed to Death said.
Wow.
So at any rate, hate that so much. Hate the idea that you took in kids because to supplement
your... Happens a lot.
It's fucking awful. It really does. And it grosses me out. There's a whole tangent here that I could go down and I'm not. I'm going to stay on track. So at any rate, they, you know, marriage seems to be going well, but Cheryl is Cheryl. She's a spicy chick and she likes to get her groove on. And
young.
She's young.
How old is she at this point?
So this is like, you know, they met in the 60s.
She was 17.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking, she's probably in her 30s now point. But she's been, she's been like, you know, seeing some people around town, and she actually starts seeing this woman named Gay. And her and Gay are like an item, so much so that she's like, I want to leave my wife or my husband. And Gay is like, you should move in here.
Good plan.
Leave your husband. Great. And Gay is like all about it because they actually met at a incest survivor community. And she had been telling these stories about her husband had been sexually abusing not just her but her children. So now
has been saying this Cheryl's
like, I'm done with him. This is happening. So Gay's like, then you should really go to the police.
Yes.
But then Gay starts to get suspicious because her stories kind of keep changing. And she's like, this is a little weird.
That is a vile thing to make up about somebody.
So Canada isn't fucking around, though. They're like, oh, suspicious? Fine. Get the fuck out of this house. Gay and Cheryl are like, great, we got the kids and the house. And he's out because he is a dirtbag, right? But all his friends are like, how? And listen, I never want to suppose that somebody is not doing what they're doing I don't want to not believe a victim if that's true.
Right.
But it seems as though with all of the research that they did, they quickly came to the understanding that this is not what happened.
So and they removed him from the home and then they did go ahead and do an investigation.
They did a full investigation.
So at least like an investigation was done. All right.
Oh, yeah. They immediately were like, well, we need to know if this is fucking happening.
Yeah.
And so they did a full investigation and they were just like, nothing's adding up. This isn't real. Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like there were some stories going around that Cheryl had been telling people that she just wanted to get rid of her husband and that he was just, you know, this was kind of the easiest way to do it. So like on top of this, ugly. Really,
it's one, it's super fucking gross. Two, how many of these tainted love stories are we going to do where people just can't like stop like James Bond villaining themselves where they're just like, they just give away their full, like, here's my entire plan.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's also ugly for people that are going through something like that awful, because then people are like, well, you know, sometimes people make it up.
That is exactly right.
It's fucked up. It's really harmful to real victims.
Harmful. And fuck her. You're so right. Fuck her for that. Because this is the reason that people don't
say rare. Something. It is so fucking rare.
It for is people very
to,
rare.
To make this stuff up.
It takes a real vile human being to make something happen very often.
Exactly. So when people choose to use it as an excuse of like, well, she could be lying, it's like, yeah, you can point to instances like this, but those instances are very few and far between.
Right.
Compared to the ones that are true.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
It's just, it's all of it's fucking vile. At any rate, Gay is just like, oh, I think I've seen enough of this scenario. And she's like, you know, I'm out.
Later
she's
days.
Like, deuces, I'm out. So she's like, she breaks up with Cheryl and they're like, you know, they kind of stay amicable, they stay friends or whatever, but she's just like, that is too much baggage for me.
Right.
And so, but, and even though, and by the way, so not only now has she lost Gay, she also lost the kids because of this whole scenario, and she lost her farm because the courts were like, he gets full custody and he gets his farm back.
Yeah.
So sorry, bitch. Sorry about you. You fucked up.
Also, that's like her poor husband. Like, they'd been together for how long?
Yes.
Like, speaking of, like, you think you know someone.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, you've been together for so long, and then this person tries to like destroy your life.
Yeah. Accuse you of something so vile.
So vile.
So awful.
Yeah.
That's got, I mean,
horrible.
Oof.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
So anyway, she is like, fine, but I am going to divorce you. We're through. And so she starts the proceedings.
He's like, okay.
No, but he's not. That's the thing about poor Scott.
Honey,
because
Scott.
Even when Scott found out about Gay, he was like, I mean, I guess we can still make this work. I'm okay if you keep her as a lover. I just love you so much and I want you in my life. And then even after she goes to this extreme and accuses him of this vile act, he still is like, you know what? We could probably still make
baby,
this work.
Baby, you gotta let him go. Oh. Because, okay, here's the thing. Like, my first instinct is to be like, oh, sweet baby Scott. But also, if somebody wants to go, you need to let them go.
Right.
Like, you need to let them go. Not only for yourself, but also, like,
God,
that's
for those
kids. Right. And it is also just the right thing to do. If,
yeah.
if it's someone you love and you care about and they want to go, you need to let them go.
Yeah.
That's like, the best advice.
And I think that eventually that is kind of where his head is. He's like, fine, we're going to get divorced. But then it turns out literally just days before they're going to go through their court proceedings to finalize the divorce, he finds out that he has cancer. He has throat cancer and it's not looking good. So he ends up, you know, going through the surgeries, the chemo, the everything. And she's like, maybe we don't divorce because he's probably going to just die soon. And I'm going to get what I want anyway.
Oh. Ugh, I'm going to need a shower after this one.
It's awful.
Oh, she's gross.
So miracle upon miracles, though, Scott fucking makes it. He makes it through. All this time, by the way, she hasn't lived with them. She's also like, I'm not going to divorce you, but I'm also not going to live with you.
I'm not going to help you through cancer.
But I don't want to divorce you because, you know, just in case.
That cha-ching at the end of this. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh. Wow.
awful. So he does miraculously makes it to, you know, remission. Like he goes through the thing, you know, has multiple surgeries, all this stuff, like makes it into remission, is cancer free. And she at the time was like, had started seeing someone new. She started seeing this woman named Nancy. Well, Nancy and her have, you know, Nancy, she'd met through a like an ad online, like not online, but this is like
Lonely Hearts.
Yes, exactly. Column. Like a column. Yes. She met her through a column. She lived in Ottawa, came from money. So she's like, jackpot. This woman's great. And she's in love with me. And she just has a way with people where they just literally will like are in love
what
with her.
Is that? About people. I mean, I feel like we've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's psychopaths. It's, you know, it definitely is, a trait.
It is a very psychopathic trait. And I think that this woman is fully a psychopath. Like, listen, hashtag not a doctor. But the tendencies here, the way in which she's able to manipulate people to, you know, do things for her. I mean, this woman
seemingly has like no empathy or comprehension for like what you're putting other people through.
Right.
Like, you know, like at least you're like a narcissist because like you can't even see.
Cannot see.
How you're hurting anybody else.
Exactly. So this woman, Nancy, moves from Ottawa to be with her and is like, you know what? Yes, I will put up some money so that we can get this house. This sounds great. This is perfect. I want to be together. We're going to move in together. So they have a home together. And during this time, though, she's kind of still been keeping Scott on a little bit of a leash. Like, well, maybe we could work things out. So she sends over a bottle of wine to his house and is like, you know, I want to like talk about reconciliation. So,
Scott, listen, you know what? I feel like Scott needs a friend. It needs to be like that scene in Bridesmaids where she just like grabs her face and she's like, you are a beautiful ray of sunshine. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Scott needs that like positive affirmation. You don't need Cheryl. Cheryl is bad for you.
You want to talk about how sweet baby angel Scott is? Scott read all of his children's favorite books and recorded them.
In case he lost his voice because of his throat cancer.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry.
Fucking awful. So she's like, I send him this bottle of wine and, you know, and she's like, let's get on the phone and talk about, you know, kind of vision board our future together. Right. She's on the phone with him for 9 hours drinks his bottle of wine. And then the next day, his body is found in his son's bedroom. He is fallen. He's on the floor and there's vomit beside him. He's dead. So when the police get there, they see the bottle of wine and all this stuff. And they're like, you know, the police call Cheryl and they're like, hey, so your ex-husband died. You know, do you know anything about this? She's like, well, his cancer came back and he was really depressed. I mean, I don't know. And apparently in the room, this is why I'm like psychopath tendencies. She's like flirting with the police and the detectives and stuff. And it's like, yeah, he had gotten his cancer back. He didn't want anybody to know, but he was really, really sick. So, you know, this is probably that. And they're like,
isn't that also verifiable? Can you go talk to his doctor?
Well, this is like what the late 70s, early 80s by this point.
But and she's like, you know, it's definitely no, this is like early 90s at this point. So this is how long this has gone on.
Scott, sweetheart.
So they're like, she's like, yeah, it was definitely the cancer had come back. And all his friends are like, no, he was fully in remission. I'm so confused. And she's like, you know what, though? He really wanted to be cremated. So let's just go ahead and move forward with that. And they were like, okay, sounds good. Sounds like that's what it was. And his family was like, wait. His family was like,
One sec.
Yeah, not on my fucking watch.
Thank God. Because I feel like in these stories, like nobody intervenes.
The family was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. They literally only saved his body from cremation because it fell on a holiday. It was the 9th fucking hour. And they were like, nope, just kidding. We're not cremating this body. We're doing an autopsy. And in the autopsy, they found that he had antifreeze in his bloodstream.
Ugh.
And And Cheryl's like, well, you know, it makes sense because he knew he was going to be dying. That he knew that there was no way he was going to make it out of this alive. His doctor said he had like 3 days to live. I'm sure he wanted to go out
His doctor said he had 3 days to live.
That's awfully precise.
Right? He wanted to go on his own terms, Christina.
Oh, and believe me, drinking antifreeze is a real fun way to do it.
The fucking worst, right? Everything you hear about it, right?
She stayed on the phone with him for 9 hours.
To make sure she drank that. This is so fucking gross. Yeah.
So they said too that, you know, they're like, I can't believe he didn't taste it. But because of his throat cancer, he had lost a lot of his taste. So a lot of the treatments that he had had through his throat cancer, he wouldn't have tasted it. And I'm like, if you can't taste wine, why are you even drinking it? Like, wine ain't that good.
For
like,
the feeling.
For the buzz.
I guess, yeah. Maybe.
I love a red wine buzz.
It is true. I do love a wine buzz. We know how much I love everybody.
Cassie gets very lovey-dovey on wine.
I love everyone. So she's like, yeah, you know, it makes sense. He's depressed. So, you know, maybe he wanted to take himself out. And fine. That's just the way it is. Well, and again, Cheryl, and she's like, not only was he re-diagnosed, not only has his cancer come back, you know, I'd also left him. I had told him there was no chance of us reconciling because I have a new girlfriend. Nancy and I are together. And so, you know, and the police are like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Cool. And just move right along. Oof. So Nancy, one of her good friends comes to town and she's on this show and she's like telling the story. And I'm just like, you want to talk about crying? I was like, she's like, you know, I went out on the boat with my friend Nancy and she's like, you know, Cheryl had been complaining to Nancy about how awful he was to her. Scott was to her when they were married. He was so abusive, but it really kind of turned out that Cheryl kind of was the abusive one.
Yeah.
She would have marks on her wrists from Cheryl grabbing her and just really awful things. And her friend's like, you fucking have to leave this woman. And she's like, they were out fishing one day and she said, suddenly Nancy just broke down. And she's like, I could have stopped this. I could have stopped this from happening. She's like, Cheryl asked me to go buy the bottle of wine and the antifreeze. I knew it was happening. I knew all this time. She's like, and she told me the police are going to like blame me for it. And her friend's like, you must go to the police.
Classic abuser tactics.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you must go to the police and tell them what happened, what you know about his death. Like, this is like, you have to, if nothing else, just for your own sanity. Like, this is awful, right? So she does. She eventually does. And she's like, you know what? Like, I can't keep it in anymore. She goes to the police and she's like, hey, my girlfriend and I are fighting and I really just want to get my shit out of the house. And oh, by the way, she also murdered her ex-husband.
Okay. Ooh. So who can escort me over to the house? Anybody willing to carry boxes?
Right.
So, are we good?
Yeah, are we? No. Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what? Let's go back to that one thing you just said.
One sec.
Talk to me about that. So she spills all the beans. She's like, I bought the antifreeze. I bought the bottle of wine. She's like, I know the whole thing. I was at the house when she was on the phone with him the whole night. You know, like, this is like everything. Here's the plot.
It's terrifying.
It's fucking awful. And so she is, you know, just spills her guts. And the police are like, they totally believe her. But they're also like, you should really not worry about the stuff that's at the house. You should probably get the fuck out of Dodge. You need to leave town. The police are like, you really should leave town. And, you know, like, obviously keep in touch because you're a key witness in this. But you really, it doesn't feel safe. And she's like, yeah, but I really just don't want to leave my stuff. Honey, buy a new couch.
Yeah.
Stuff is replaceable.
Or, you know, wait till Cheryl goes to jail and then you can come back and
that's right. Get all your shit.
Pack all that shit up, you know? You know, we have very tight friends,
yeah,
attachments. Of course, I've got Anthony, I've got close family attachments. There is fucking nobody who I would just be like, Yeah. I'll just be in on this entire like murder plot and just sit in the other room while you're on the phone with your husband while he drinks the wine that's laced with antifreeze and then keep quiet about it for X amount of time. Like, there is nobody.
Yeah, but that's, I guess, the difference between being in an abusive relationship.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, British, you know, that when you fear trust there.
And there's a little bit of fear. There's,
you're like, that's what they're showing you exactly what they're capable of. Murder.
Absolutely.
A murder most foul.
A murder most foul.
Yeah.
It's not even funny. Like, this is like nothing to joke about with it, but it legitimately is. She's a fucking awful human being. And she's like, she is scared for her life. She really is. But she also at the same time is like, I don't want to leave because I just want to be here to get my stuff and, you know, just be here for, like, she just feels like burdened that she cannot leave. And so, you know, it's around this time that they end up kind of breaking up too. And so she does eventually, Cheryl ends up moving out of the house. So she is able to get back in her house and everything. And then one night the neighbor hears some thumping on the floor above them. And she's like, and then suddenly the place is up in flames.
Oh,
wow.
And so the police are like, what in the fuck? They're like, this has to be related to Cheryl. Well, they look, Cheryl has a solid alibi. So the fuck happened, right? So Cheryl had started seeing someone new because Cheryl apparently cannot be alone. How can I make you hate Cheryl more?
I mean,
she was having a relationship, a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old boy.
Oh. She's going to manipulate whoever she can.
Yep. So Cheryl is now a pedophile who is now dating a 16-year-old. That's disgusting to even say. Like, she's sexually manipulating a 16-year-old, Brent Crawford.
Yeah, she's like 50 by this point.
Yeah. And Brent is loose lips sink ships because he's like telling all his friends. He's like, hey, you know that lady that burned in the fire? I did that. I went to her house. I knocked her on the head, knocked over some candles, barricaded her door, and deuced out.
Look, we have said this before, and we will say it again. Do not get teenagers to do this shit for you.
Don't get teenagers to do anything. They're worthless.
Well,
no, I mean, but, you know.
But you guys,
your teenager's fine, but...
Yeah.
But
we're not whoever you are, we're not talking about you.
Yeah.
We're not talking about you, but we are saying in general,
because I babies.
The To Die For one. Remember the one that Nicole Kidman? And same thing. I was like, you think you've got, like, Pam Smart, I think was who that was. Mm-hmm. You think you've got them under control because you can play them like puppets on a string, mm-hmm. because with your sexual prowess or whatever, because mm-hmm. it doesn't take a lot because they're 16-year-old boys, but they're also stupid.
It wasn't just her sexual prowess though, guys. She also paid him $300 and gave him a bike.
Oh, a bike.
Oh my gosh, a bicycle. That is so gross.
It's so dark.
That's really fucked up. Oh my God.
A bike.
Ugh. Did you just gag times 1,000?
Yeah.
Awful. Well, police are like, okay, we think we know that it's this Brett guy, right? Because we're pretty sure that she's manipulated. So they find all this out. And police are certain, you know, like I said, Cheryl's involved. She got Brett to do this. Or Brent, sorry. And so they do something that had been very successful for them in the past, which is that they hire an undercover police officer meet up with them. The reason that they did it this way is because apparently Brent was starting to get a little itchy, a little nervous, and was like ready to hoof it. He was like, you know, I think I'm gonna get out of Dodge. I think I'm gonna get the fuck out of here. And before he leaves, he's like, I am going to take this meeting, though, with this crime boss, who is the undercover detective.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got to pencil in this meeting before I get out of town.
And he sure does pencil in that meeting. And it does not take very long for him to confess to this crime boss that he
is... crime bosses often meeting with 16-year-olds?
Often.
I'm really impressed by your work.
I heard you did some work, and I want to know a little bit more about it. And he's like, Bring your CV, Nancy. Let me tell you all about it. And he fucking did.
God damn it.
And he's like, and guess what? I got $300 and a bike.
And a bike. So,
wow. So
she won that.
Yeah. So it doesn't take long for the pieces of the puzzle to fall very quickly into place because Brent's like singing like a canary now. Now he's like, oh shit, I might go to jail for this. bruh, I didn't think that was going to happen. So then he's like, it was Cheryl. Because he's like, I ain't going down for that old ass pussy. Awful.
Awful.
So, however, during the court proceedings, the judge is very angry at the way in which they tricked him into telling his story.
Well, he is so still, I mean,
he's a minor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's 16. And they made,
yes.
You can't just go doing that.
So he was sentenced to 10 years.
Mm.
10 years for murdering someone.
Right.
Yeah. However, Cheryl did not get away very easily. She was found guilty and of Scott's death, at least. And in 2001 was sentenced to 25 years. In which she will likely never make it out of prison.
Still, 25 years seems doesn't light feel like for enough. Someone like this. Like, you need to take into account like all the information, because that is not somebody who's safe to be around the general public ever.
Speaking of all the notes I should have taken down, there's an egregious, like, there was no jury. She opted for a no jury, so it was the judge. The judge had like some like 13 to 20 page diatribe in which the judgment. And was like, I guess had a lot to say.
Yeah, I have a lot to say.
Yeah,
I could probably fill 13 pages.
Yeah.
Of the just things I would like to say to someone yeah. like that.
13 is a guess.
First of all, how dare you?
Fucking
number
awful.
One. How dare you?
Number one.
How dare you? On how dare you? Right?
Yeah.
Like, how dare you to Scott? How dare you to Nancy? How dare you to your kids? How dare you to the 16-year-old fucking kid?
Too. I'm sure. Look, someone like this. It's a just devastation in her wake. Everyone she comes 100%. Into contact with, I'm sure, has a story, because people like that don't know how to not use people. Like, that's what they do.
100%. So that is her MO, period.
I'm sure we don't even know, like, the number of people she's hurt and the damage right. she's done.
Right.
You know?
Like, I mean, very true.
Ooh. Woof. That yeah. is...
That was very intense.
That is...
So intense, right?
Never heard that story.
Me neither.
I hadn't either.
Was the Oxygen show again?
Sorry. Charmed to Death.
Charmed to Death.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That seems like a show that I would actually like yeah. to watch.
I think it's new. It was just one of the episodes. I think it was like the first episode, actually. And it was...
Those people are so fascinating to me. Like, the people who are just
yeah.
like that charming.
So yes. charming and so evil.
Manipulative. Right. The fact right. that you can just kind of just pull people into your web.
Meanwhile, like me, who like will go through hoops to not ask anybody for the yes, smallest yes, fucking yes, favor.
Yes.
And I freak out when I'm like, would you, is this would okay?
you ever, could yeah, you, I love that. Ever, it was years ago ever? And it's like lived rent-free in my brain, but it was a tweet that was basically like, hey, I would like to, can I just ask you this one small favor? If not, then like that's totally okay.
Totally fine.
It's mm-hmm. totally fine. In fact, if you want to just run me over with your car, that's also okay. And I'm like,
oh
that's,
man,
that's highly that's relatable.
How I am mm-hmm. like, I'm just like, I cannot imagine living with the, I couldn't do it.
Oh no, no, there's no way. No way that anyone with a
conscience,
exactly, empathy, conscience, anything right. you just like, how could you? Awful. Fucking awful.
Yeah. T to B.
God,
yeah.
People are scary, aren't they?
Jeez. Yeah,
what
yeah.
people are capable of is genuinely frightening.
It is frightening. It is absolutely frightening. The fact that too, like, she just goes in the police station and is like, this is nothing, I'm gonna flirt with the police, and it works.
That's it embarrassing works. For those police.
It's embarrassing. It is.
You're stop it.
Right. It's like, awful.
Come on.
She's. Oh, well, we did say starting. Speaking of human trash can.
Yeah.
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 She's awful.
Wow.
Wow. Well, to switch topics, what are we watching this week?
What did I watch? Clickbait.
Oh, yeah. You watched Clickbait.
I can't not talk about how much I love
that
show.
I liked it too. I thought it was good. See, I was conservative whenever discussing it on this show, because I had heard from people that like it had not gotten like super great reviews.
I looked everywhere to find a bad review, and everybody's like, how good is this fucking show?
Oh, see, I'll see if I can find what I read. But there
I
was,
need
like,
to know.
Because I had Googled it, and it was just like, I think it was something that was like, stream it or something. And they were like, don't watch it, basically. Oh. And other people had said, like, they were like, oh, I don't know if I like the tone of it, but I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was phenomenal. You know? Maybe I went in because I had kind of got that vibe that was like, I don't know.
I got mad at the first episode that they kept watching the fucking video.
Oh, dude. Oh.
I was so mad. I was like,
stop watching the video. But you know
that's exactly how it would go.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, if it was real life.
But
stop. What?
But for like, the sister, it was so like, why are you still watching it? Exactly.
Yeah, I was like,
oh. It took the wife being like, so the premise of this show for the listeners, because they're probably like, what are you talking about? Is that they upload a photo to this like site, and when the site reaches 5 million views, if it reaches 5 million views, this video, he would die. Mm-hmm. And the sister watched it like 5 times before the wife was like, hey, every time you watch that, doesn't it count as one of
those? Like, oh shit, you're right.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about it.
Who doesn't know? I was so angry. I'm like, oh, but
it's good though. And it is, you know, if you like our Tainted Love segment, it is one of those. It's
very much a Tainted Love.
Yeah.
Really fucking good though. Yeah. Dude, I enjoyed it.
And also Adrian
Grenier.
Yeah. Oh. That man.
Oh.
Yeah. God bless him. He's good looking.
Good looking man.
So I texted you as I was watching. It was like, so I had to look him up because, you know, I needed to see if we were compatible, of course.
Yeah. You're looking at your star chart, your birth chart.
I need to make sure that we're compatible.
I did that with Oscar Isaac.
Dude, it's when I saw that
TikTok of the way he looked at Jessica
Chastain, and he kissed her arm. It was so, it was
erotic.
Like, I'm literally having goosebumps in my chest.
I'm sweating right now. In my armpits.
Like, the way he looked at her, and then it was, there's something about kissing someone's arm. It's giving me like Gomez Adams. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm getting like,
just, I'm getting like it's Gaga, sensual. Bradley Cooper vibes. Yeah. Because, I mean, they're fucking more spouses because it was like, were there.
Right. And she's like, silly.
Dude, for real. And I'm like, nah, you guys have fucked for sure. And yeah. If I'm looking at my husband doing something like
looking
that.
Looking at another woman like that.
Oh, no.
Stop.
I'm.
Sir,
911 fucking one.
Immediately. Yeah. But I'm sorry.
I'm on the phone. No, I'm on the phone with one of you two. Like, will you please get a load of what's happening right now?
Turn on your camera.
Am I overreacting? And you would be like, No.
You gotta dump him.
Cass, you would have left immediately, and all his shit would have been on the lawn by the time he got home.
Burning on the lawn. Because mama loved fire.
Waiting for exhale.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Gonna blow this shit up. Just Angela Bassett all in this bitch. For sure. Yes. But sorry, you looked up Adrian to see if you were compatible.
To see if we were compatible. And I found out that he is 2 years older than me. I simultaneously was like, oh my God, we're totally compatible because he's older than me. I don't know why that's so weird. It's a weird thing for me. Secondly, I was like, wait, how in the fuck is he 2 years older than me? Because he looks like he's 10 years younger than me.
Look, I told you I watched that movie with Justin Theroux in it. And that man is in his 50s.
He's so hot.
Dude.
If you...
The fountain of youth is money.
Yeah,
we all know this.
Yeah, we do.
That is... It is alive and well.
I saw a video with Kylie and Kendall's old faces recently, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something. I've watched now the second to last episode of 9 Perfect Strangers, and I'm actually getting pissed.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, what?
What's happening?
There's only one episode left. I'm like, I'm so over it. But by this point, I'm so far into it. I actually really don't think it's a good show and do not recommend it.
Okay. See, I think we've taken a very similar path. I think everybody did with this show. And I agree because having listened to the book on Audible, this show is not at all like the book. Like, it's not like the book. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I was going to ask. I'm like, no. You've read the book. Like, it is what not. The fuck like, is
I would,
going on?
I would definitely recommend reading the book because this is not, it's not like this.
Like, why'd you even call it 9 Perfect Strangers?
Like, it's so loosely, like, very loosely based.
But this last episode, I was like, why did everybody make the weirdest choice?
And how much do you want to, like, hit Yao because you're like, what the fuck are you doing,
I wanna
sir?
Hit everybody.
Like,
everybody
happening.
Everybody. This show is bonkers bananas.
I agree.
And not in a good way.
I don't recommend it either.
It's
and I did
a
it
mess.
First. I did
it's
it first.
A mess.
Don't do it. Don't okay. do it.
Good. I'm glad I didn't.
I mean, I'm going to finish
every
it.
Every day that I'm like, when I'm like, have time to actually watch TV, I'm like flipping through and I'm like, do
don't.
I?
Don't. No.
No.
It's
not worth it.
No.
I mean,
okay, good.
I will say Melissa McCarthy, a gem.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She is the
she
highlight,
is the
of,
highlight
show.
Of the show. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Well, what if 10 changes your mind? I guess you'll let us know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. But yeah, and then I'm also prepping myself for another October, which is a deal that I've struck with my boyfriend in that I do love scary movies, and yet he is allowed full reign of a bunch of different horror movies, and
yes,
he's got October all planned out.
Oh, no.
You know that that's my favorite shit.
And I think we're starting off with the new Candyman.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I haven't seen it yet because I haven't had time to breathe in the last month, but I wanted to see that in theaters. Like, ooh, it looks so good.
So,
looks like it's not for me.
So, yeah, keep thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Right to Christina.
Send it right your way.
What about you, Keegan?
I mean, I started watching Paranoia, which is this like, because you know how much I love a British procedural crime show. You know I do. And it has the a woman who was in Game of Thrones in it. And, you know, as always, acting is superb, but her character is annoying to me. Like, she's very like needy and talks a lot and is very like, I can't get into the...
Yeah.
The story
the
because she's annoying me so much.
Right.
So who knows? It might be something that I keep trying to chip away at.
Yeah. Right.
As of right now, like three episodes in, I wouldn't recommend it personally for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you guys have books we should read or shows we should watch, if you have stories to tell us,
send
anything,
us those stories.
Yes, please go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworststatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers. Cheers.